The songwriting team of Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine is best known for Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas, The Trolley Song, and The Boy Next Door. The songs are written for the MGM musical Meet Me in St. Louis. A new stage adaptation of Meet Me in St. Louis opens on Broadway this Thursday, and it reunited my guests Martin and Blaine to write several additional songs. The 1944 movie was produced by Arthur Freed, directed by Vincent Minnelli, and starred Judy Garland. The Broadway production will star George Hearn of La Cage aux Folles and Sweeney Todd fame. Martin and Blaine started collaborating in the late 1930s. Their first Broadway musical was Best Foot Forward. The later film version starred Lucille Ball, and the 1963 Broadway revival gave Liza Minnelli her New York stage debut. One of Martin and Blaine's songs from that show is Buckle Down Winsocky. The melody was later used for the seatbelt jingle, Buckle Up for Safety. Martin and Blaine's other musicals include The Girl Most Likely, Athena, and The Girl Rush. Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine were voted into the Songwriters Hall of Fame in 1983. We're about to enter the season in which you hear one of their songs performed everywhere.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. Next year all our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. Next year all our troubles will be miles away. Once again.
Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you for having us.
One of the things I really love about Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas is that, well, so many of the Christmas songs have these, like, cheerful platitudes, and this is such a kind of brooding song about loss in a minor key. Tell me the story behind writing the song.
Well, it began with the melody. I found a little madrigal-like tune that I liked but couldn't make work. So I played with it for two or three days, and then I threw it in the wastebasket and forgot about it. But Ralph, bless his heart, tell her how you reacted.
I remembered that little melody, and it kept haunting me. And I came into the room one day, and I said, Hugh, what did you do with that little melody that you were fooling around with at the piano, that was like a madrigal? He says, I threw it in the wastebasket. I said, oh, no. I think I've got a great idea. You mustn't do that. Let's get it. And so we dug around in the wastebasket, and we found it. Thank the Lord we found it.
Yes. And then we wrote a lyric which nobody liked, especially Judy, because it was extremely sad and tragic. Can you sing it the way it was, Ralph?
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. It may be your last. Next year we will all be living in the past. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Pop that champagne cork. Next year we will all be living in New York.
And we thought that was just dandy because it was a sad scene. But they said, no, no, it's a sad scene, but we want a sort of an upbeat song, which will make it even sadder if she's smiling through her tears. So then we wrote the one that you know in the movie. And then there was another version, Ralph.
One day, Frank Sinatra called us and said he wanted to record the song, but he couldn't sing the line about, until then we'll have to muddle through somehow. So he said, give me a happy line and I'll record the song.
It was because of the title of his album, which was A Jolly Christmas. So he wanted us to jolly it up a bit.
And Hugh came up with the line, hang a shining star upon the highest bough. And Sinatra was delighted and recorded the song. In fact, he's recorded it three times.
Huh. Well, the composers Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine are my guest, and they wrote the music for Meet Me in St. Louis, which is about to be revived in a Broadway version with a bunch of new songs that they've written. Now, had you wanted to take Meet Me in St. Louis to Broadway for a long time?
Yes, we did. We were commissioned in about 25 years ago by the St. Louis Muni Opera to do a stage version of the movie, and Sally Benson did her own script, and we did about 9 new songs for that version. And we kind of hoped that it would go on to Broadway, but it didn't. But we never lost hope. We still dreamed of it coming.
Now, the new songs that are in this production, when was the most recent of the new songs written?
Well, let me see, Ralph. What was the last one? August. It might have been Betty Garrett's number.
Yes, the Touch of the Irish.
Touch of the Irish, which was very recent.
And George Hearn's song,
A Day in New York.
That's the latter part.
So you've still been writing songs for this?
Oh, never stopped. Never stopped.
Now, hadn't you broken up for decades,
the two of you? The war in 1944 took Hugh. And when he came back after the war, his first love really is the theater. And he didn't come back to Los Angeles. And for 10 years, we were separated. And then one day, Joe Pasternak called and said, "Why haven't you been working with Hugh Martin?"
Everyone assumed we were fighting, you know, and hated each other.
That's
which
not
is
so,
not the case
not
at all.
Not at all. But he said, "Why haven't you been working with Hugh Martin?" And I said, "Well, nobody's asked us." He said, "Well, I'm asking now. Do you think Hugh would do it?" I said, "Call him and ask him. I'd love to." And he did. He called Hugh, and Hugh said, "I'd love to." So we were hired to do the Athena.
With
Jane Powell and Debbie Reynolds and Vic Damone, 1954. Mm-hmm. And that put us back together again, and we've never been apart since.
Well, you've been kind enough to send us a demo tape of you performing one of the songs from Meet Me in St. Louis. Why don't we give some of that a listen?
Okay.
Memories, memories, so many memories hurry through my brain. I can see you yet on the day we met. Memories, memories, marvelous memories, do you have them too? I can't imagine sharing them with anyone but you. Oh, wasn't it fun? Wasn't it fine? Wonderful days of old anxiety. Wasn't it fine? Wasn't it fun? Ours is a romance second to none. Rain and sun, sun and rain, tears and laughter, joy and pain. Sun and rain, rain and sun, lifetimes and lifetimes rolled into one. And always such fun."
Hugh Martin at the piano and lyricist Ralph Blaine singing.
Terry, would you hate me if I corrected you? You know, it's so rude to correct people as smart as you, but Ralph isn't the lyricist. We both write lyrics.
Oh, you both write lyrics?
And we both write music. So, you know, we're not an orthodox music and words
That's
team.
That's when I thought you were.
We always have to go through this with people, and it's very complicated and hard to explain, but we've only written one song in our entire lives. It was lyrics by Ralph and music by me. And that was a minor song in Best Foot Forward.
The billing of our songs says songs by Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine.
We insist on that so they won't think we're words and music team.
Because no matter whose name comes first, they associate it with one
another. The way it usually works, Terry, is that one of us will get an idea. And since we're both proficient at writing lyrics and music, by the time we presented it to the other, we've usually almost finished it. And then the other one will critique it and polish it. But so, you know, half of them are by me and half of them by Ralph. He's written shows alone. I've written shows alone.
Huh, okay.
It's weird, isn't it?
Well, it's very unconventional arrangement, I think. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I think Adler and Ross kind of worked that way, didn't they?
I think that...
I'm not sure.
I'm not sure either, but I think
they wrote
did.
The Pajama Game, you know, mm-hmm. things like
Damn
that.
Damn Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me the story of how you both teamed up together?
Yes.
Ralph, you tell it.
I'll tell you the most wonderful thing that ever happened to me.
I
was hired by Kay Thompson, the fabulous Kay Thompson.
Oh, she is wonderful.
She is wonderful.
The greatest.
And she put us together in her rhythm singer group that was going to be in Hooray for What. She was starring with Ed Wynn in a Broadway musical called Hooray for What. And we were in the chorus together, and we met there. That, the greatest thing that ever happened to me was that in Boston, Kay left the show, and Hugh got to finish the vocal arrangements that had to be done, and it started a whole career of vocal arrangements for Broadway shows. And
we were actually devastated that Kay was that they'd let Kay go, because she was marvelous.
I thought so too.
They were crazy to let her go because she's one of the great ladies. Kay taught me everything I know about music and arranging. She's just marvelous.
And Hugh Martin taught me everything I know.
Meet Me in St. Louis, the film, was directed by Vincent Minnelli. Did he have any suggestions about how he wanted to get into the songs?
And oh, boy. He sure did.
He's a very brilliant suggestion.
Can you give an example?
The best example, I think, is that when we wrote the trolley song and everyone had loved it, Vincent came up with the idea that he wanted it sung by the chorus before Judy sang it, which sounded terrible to me. I couldn't understand why he wanted that. It just seemed wrong to me. But now seeing the movie, I can see how beautifully that idea worked out, of having the chorus kids come in on the car and set up the whole melody and lyric idea.
And then John Truett, the boy next door, dashing and trying to catch the trolley, and she's so thrilled that he's trying to make it and does finally at the end.
He masterminded all of that, and he was wonderful, wonderful director.
Did his telling you how he wanted to stage it affect how you wrote the song at all?
Oh, yes, because when he wanted that extra chorus of a trolley song, we had to write a brand new lyric for it.
See, it's on the way to the fair,
mm-hmm.
And we made it a travelogue of what part of St. Louis we were driving through.
But we welcome that sort of being produced by brilliant people like Minnelli and Freed. It brings out the best in us. We don't resent it. We love it.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, I want to play a version of the trolley song. Now, this is a song that's kind of owned by Judy Garland, in a way,
yeah.
As a singer. But on this version, we're going to hear Hugh Martin singing it. And this
How
is
nice.
From an album that Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine made together in 1957.
I'm very flattered. Thank you.
Let's give it a listen.
Okay.
With her high starched collar and her high topped shoes and her hair piled high up on her head, she went to find a jolly hour on the trolley and found my heart instead. With my light brown derby and my bright green tie, I was quite the lonesomest of men. I started to yen, so I counted to ten, then I counted to ten again. Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. For the moment I saw her, I fell. Chug, chug, chug went the motor. Bump, bump, bump went the brake. Thump, thump, thump went my heartstrings. When she smiled, I could feel the car shake.
Hugh Martin, I like your singing a lot.
Oh, bless you, Terry.
Do you still sing?
You know, just your playing the record has given me the old itch to sing again. I'm going to go home and do my vocalises. Thank you for playing it.
Oh, that's a pleasure. Mm-hmm. Let's get back to the trolley song.
Okay.
How did you come up with the clang clang lyric?
Well, after we had written three different songs for Arthur Freed, which we thought would be corny to be about a trolley. I mean, we thought that we'll write something wonderful for Judy to sing on the trolley. And we did three different songs, which he said, I know, oh, I love it, it's a beautiful song, but I've got a better place for it, I'm going to use it in the Follies.
Which he never did. It was a tactful way of throwing them out, and I'm so glad he did.
And finally he says, now about the trolley song, I want you to try again for me. And I said, Hugh, he's not going to take anything less than a song about the trolley. So I went to the public library in Beverly Hills and was rummaging through some old turn-of-the-century newspapers and found a picture of a double-decker trolley, which they incidentally used in the movie. And under the trolley picture said, clang, clang, here comes the trolley. And I said, Hugh, look at this. And Hugh said, clang, clang, clang went the trolley. And about was very few minutes, he had the whole thing going. In fact, it didn't take long to write that song at all once we got the first line.
It was exactly 3 hours. Can you believe it?
We were in Freed's office demonstrating it in 3 hours.
Yeah.
And he said,
so
no,
excited.
That's what I wanted all the time.
I was so excited.
He knew what he wanted.
That's great.
And you know, oh, this is interesting about the verse. Remember, Ralph, I called up Irene Sheriff, who had done the costumes for the film, and I said, Irene, could you tell me what Judy might be wearing in this scene? And she said, why do you want to know? And I said, well, we're working on this new song for the trolley, and I might be able to work in some of those phrases if I know what they wore in those days. And she said, well, it might be, she might have on a high-starched collar, she might have on high-topped shoes. And I said, might her hair be piled high up on her head? And she said, yes, it might. And well, I said, might the boy be wearing? And she, you know, I practically set her words to music from the costume description.
And then when the picture was made, her hair was hanging down, not piled up on her head.
That's right.
He was wearing a straw hat, not a brown derby.
They screwed us up again.
didn't do a thing that the lyrics said. We're doing it in the show.
But it made a nice verse.
Yes.
But of course, you don't think about that as you're listening and watching.
Right.
Songwriters Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine are my guest, and they wrote the score for Meet Me in St. Louis, and there's a Broadway version of it. It's a new version with lots of new songs as well as the old songs, and that's about to open on November 2nd on Broadway. Have you both been in retirement for the last few years?
No.
Ralph always says no, and I always say yes. So you explain your standpoint.
Well, you're never retired as long as your head is on your head and you think of things you can put down on paper. It's not like physical, I mean, it's mental.
I always say yes because I haven't done anything in show business for like 15 years. Well, I've been very active in church work. That's the passion of my life now, is that I became a Christian 10 years ago and got baptized, and now I'm a zealot for Jesus, and that is more exciting to me than the theater.
Do you do music within the church?
Yes, I've written a few sacred songs, but they're not as good as my pop songs, so I've sort of stopped doing it, but I do play a lot. I use my 10 fingers to. I go on camp meeting circuits and all those things. I tell Ralph I feel just like Katharine Hepburn in the opening scene of The African Queen when she's pumping away at that old organ and her hair's flying.
I do a little thing every year for the Disney World in Florida. They have one week before Christmas, it's called Candlelight, and they have a 1,000 voice choir and a 60-piece orchestra. And before the program, and some star will come and narrate the Christmas story. And before that all begins, they have Ralph Blaine singing a Martin and Blaine Christmas song called Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas. I've done it for 14 years, and this year I'm already booked for the 15th year, and I'm real thrilled because I keep alive my talent as a singer because that's about the one place I do perform.
Huh. So this is your first opening in how long? Broadway opening.
For me, it's in about, well, when was 1965? How many years ago is that?
24?
Good heavens, is it that long? Yes, I did High Spirits, you know, a musical version of...
Oh, the Noel Coward Blythe Spirit,
that's right. That was in 64 in New York and 65 in London. That was the last.
The last one I had.
Oh,
was...
except Sugar Babies. I did do the vocal lines for Sugar Babies.
We did Sugar
Ralph
Babies.
And I.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
I had Three Wishes for Jamie for John Reid in 1952.
Mm-hmm. Ralph Blaine, you were saying that you still do some singing. I think you were called the young man of melody on an NBC radio show called Port of Missing Hits.
Mm-hmm. I did that.
What did you have to do on there?
I sang whatever popular songs were being plugged at the moment. Uh-huh. In fact, that's probably why the songwriting career began, because I was doing five shows a week with Norman Clodier, and I happened to write a song, How Warm It Is the Weather. And Hugh, bless his heart, was walking down the street with me, and he says, I'll write it down for you, the music for you. And I said, I appreciated it, and I got the words all ready, and he fixed the notes for me. And then I took it into Irving Berlin's office and did it for them, and they published it. And I still think the reason they published it was to get me to do all of the Irving Berlin music on my programs, which they...
You know, Terry, Ralph was the first singing commercial. He was the first man to ever sing a commercial. It was Pepsi-Cola.
Right?
The Pepsi-Cola, 12 full ounces, that's a lot.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that was the first one. I
don't know whether that's an honor or a disgrace, but...
it started something.
Anyway, he was the first.
Well, I want to play you, Ralph Blaine, singing something from the Martin and Blaine album, again recorded in 1957. And why don't we listen to you singing The Boy Next Door, one of the songs that you both wrote for Meet Me in St. Louis.
Good. He does that beautifully.
Do you want to say anything about writing the song before we hear it?
No, it was just one of those melodies that really I'm so grateful for, because it really just came out of the blue, and then we put lyrics to it. There's nothing really special. Oh, there's one little special thing about it. After it was more or less finished, I asked Ralph if he thought it needed any finishing touches, and he said, why don't you work the address into it, Sally's address, 5135 Kensington Avenue. So we added that, and I think it's a nice touch.
It's a wonderful touch. I love that verse.
That was her real address.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to skip the verse and start with the melody, because we're so limited for time.
I really messed you up. That's okay.
I live at 5135 Kensington Avenue, and he lives at 5133.
Hit it!
How can I ignore?
next door. I love her more than I can say. Doesn't try to please me, doesn't even tease me, and she never sees me glance her way. And though I'm heart sore, the girl next door affection for me won't display. I just adore her, so I can't ignore her, the girl next door.
That's Ralph Blaine singing "The Girl Next," the boy next door, sung as "The Girl Next Door."
I have a terrible habit now. I've been listening for 6 weeks now as the young lady, Donna Kane, sings "The Boy Next Door," and I tried to sing it on an interview the other day, and I completely got mixed up, and I had the boy and the girl all mixed up. My sexes were completely, totally destroying me. I couldn't help myself.
Well, Hugh Martin and Ralph Blaine, it has been a complete pleasure to have you here, and I wish you a lot of luck with... That's not a bad thing to say if you're superstitious, is it?
Absolutely not.
I don't really know theater talk.
You've got to come into New York and see it as our guests. I'm inviting you right now.
Oh, I'd love to. Okay. I'd absolutely love to. Thanks so much, and good luck with Meet Me in St. Louis.
Thank you.
Thank you.